Learning Vocabulary Through Stories. College English Test Band 4. By Hu Min, Voice Watkins, and Huang Chen. Recorded by Diane Gung and Wes. Copyright by Corporation Beijing. All rights reserved. Abandon to accent. At times I like to abandon my ability to speak and write in an academic way, which my friends call an abusive language. When I am about to go aboard a plane to go abroad, I often still think about this. At these times, I am so absent-minded that I almost miss the call for all aboard. In another country, I often avoid abstract language when talking to other academics and try not to accent every word. Instead, I aim for clear and simple communication to help others absorb what I am saying. This is not easy since I like to abuse language and always try to use the full range of language to the best of my ability. However, I think that one can abandon oneself to new experiences when overseas without treating one's training with abandon. It has also been suggested that I get rid of my strong accent, and my absence from my country might accelerate this change. In the meantime, I'll think of ways to use Band 4 words to contribute ways rather than in the abstract. Readers can then abstract what suits them best, from the book towards developing absolute faith in their ability to master English.
Acceptance to accuse. Mrs. Black has a savings account with a nearby bank, and recently she started to receive statements not in accordance with her books. According to one notice, it said that she owed the bank $200,000. "Are they really expecting my acceptance of this?" she thought. So, accompanied by Mr. Black, she marched into the bank the next morning. After hearing her story, the accountant behind the counter explained that there had been an accidental miscounting. "But this is not the first time. The bookkeeping has never been in accord with reality," Mrs. Black argued, and she insisted on withdrawing all her money. However, she was told that the computer is down, and she couldn't even access her money. By this time, there were quite a few people standing in the access to the counter. They heard the conversation, and of their own accord, all took a stand in support of Mrs. Black. With one accord, they all accused the bank of not being accurate with their bookkeeping, and insisted that measures be taken accordingly to achieve accuracy. As the number of customers accumulated, the board members met and were in accordance that any accuracy couldn't be accepted, and sent for the manager from his office accommodation to account for the mistakes. Dissatisfied with the fact that the manager failed to accomplish his duty and achieve accuracy in his performance, the board reached an accord and fired the manager. They also accorded Mrs. Black favored customer of the month.
Accustomed to admission. A young acquaintance of mine is not accustomed to achievement. In fact, in the administration of his duties as trainee lion tamer, he is not usually considered adequate and often has to acknowledge the acid remarks of his father, the head lion tamer, for his lack of action. His father often uses the adjective sleepy to describe the lack of activity of both him and the lions. In addition, he has been told to adjust his attitudes and acquire a greater sense of showmanship if he wishes to gain admission to the main ring in the circus tent. His need is acute, because acquisition of performing skills would be an addition to his natural ability to communicate with lions, and enable him to step into the main ring when his father is out of action. In addition to this, even though he is only 3 years old and gets very tired following the lions around their one-acre park, he is already famous as a lion tamer because he appears in an ad for the circus, and is even being sought by a manufacturer to promote acid-adapted specially for use in animal food.
Adopt to airline. James walked out of the travel agency and looked very angry. He had decided to take a trip around the world and planned to take Jimmy, his dog, with him. But the travel agent refused to write a ticket for Jimmy, because pets were not allowed to board the aircraft. Although they called afterwards to say they were sorry, even using the adverb terribly, James was still very upset. He had adopted Jimmy before Jimmy was an adult, and the affection between them was very strong. since seeking aid from the airline wasn't advisable, James advertised in the newspaper for a nanny to take care of Jimmy during his absence. Many people replied to the advertisement, but James was very cautious because he didn't want to be taken advantage of. An aggressive young man caught James' attention. He had graduated from an advanced nursing school and called himself an advocate of animal rights.
"This is a big advantage," thought James.
He then dropped the agenda he was preparing for the next day's meeting and took Jimmy to meet the young man. Jimmy was an old dog, and his hair was a mix of all colors, a bit gray, a bit brown, and a bit black. And he was almost deaf, too, so he always wore his hearing aid. Luckily, it didn't affect Jimmy's activity. You know what happened when the young man who advocated himself as an animal lover saw Jimmy? He refused to look after Jimmy and said a surgical operation would be to advantage for both of them.
Alarm to Amid. Michael is flying back to Australia after visiting his aunt in New York. He is an amateur clown and his ambition is to become a full-time performer. Before he boards the airplane, Michael goes into the airport store for a gift for his wife. With his small allowance, he has two alternatives of a teddy bear or an alarm clock made of aluminum. He takes the clock, as he always needs to make allowances for her never being on time. 15 minutes later, Michael is sitting comfortably in his seat. He says hello to the man sitting alongside, asks for some alcohol, and dozes off. Suddenly, a tap on the shoulder awakens him. He looks around and finds that the plane hasn't gained any altitude. It's still on the ground. What amazes him is that two policemen then force him to get off the plane and into a police car. Michael also notices that the police take a suitcase into an ambulance. The suitcase and his own look very alike. This alerts Michael that something has happened. When they arrive at the police station, Michael is very surprised to see the Australian ambassador there, talking to an officer from the Office of Alliance of Allies Against Terrorism, who keeps looking at Michael with alert eyes. Michael's suitcase is lying on one of the tables, with everything thrown out. Some clothes, a key ring with the alphabet on it, a bottle of wine, and the clock. The policemen seem to be on the alert against something, and their expressions alter when they see the clock. The crew thought it was a bomb and alerted the police.
Amount to apology. I once knew a woman who had a grandmother. Apart from that, she was always as busy as an aunt, trying to angle for buyers to take her grandmother's unwanted goods for a large amount of money. Once, when I was reading a college annual, she came to my apartment to pay a visit because she wanted me to buy an anchor as a wedding anniversary gift for my wife. She said it was an antique that her grandmother got from her ancestors. I took a quick look at it. It was old, even ancient perhaps. Anyhow, it was certainly no more antique than her grandmother, so I said no. She was that sort of person anyway. What you said amounted to nothing. She then tried to show me the ugly thing from different angles while we stood apart. At that point, her behavior reminded me of someone who might be anchoring a shopping program on television, trying to angle the exhibit towards the camera. However, it fell over, hurting my ankle badly. What annoyed me most was that she was so amused and burst into laughter, so I refused to invite her to my annual Valentine's Day party and anticipated that I wouldn't see her again. She must have wondered with anxiety and started to analyze the whole thing. I wasn't surprised when she announced that, according to her analysis, I owed her an apology.
Apparent to approximate. To appeal to an employer, the applicant decided to apply in person, rather than wait to be offered an appointment. She didn't appreciate that her sudden appearance might not be appreciated. The employer was in the appliance industry. He didn't approve of her approach, and said that if he was going to appoint anybody, there must be a written application. He said he needed to decide whether an interview would be applicable, and if so, he could then make an approximate time to see her. He added that she could not expect to appropriate his time or approximate the staff in the way she did. The staff immediately broke into loud applause. They thought this would be a way to gain his approval, because the employer had a huge appetite for new experiences. They didn't expect that he also had an apparent dislike of not being in control. To all appearances, it seemed that no appeal would be possible now, to have the employer approach this situation in her favor. However, he then said that because she had appropriate experience, he would give her a job on approval for 2 weeks.
Arbitrary to asset. The most popular TV talk show in town arranged for two architects to talk about architecture on screen. But as soon as they saw each other, an argument arose, as both men insisted on being called the greatest artist. Each attacked the other person from different aspects. One said, "There's nothing artistic in your works. They look so artificial." "What about you?" the other replied. "You can't even do arithmetic, and the best thing you've ever made is an ashtray." Soon, they engaged in a fight. Security guards rushed in and took them aside. Police came and arrested them, and arrangements were made to take them to court. The judge was an arbitrary person who had no interest aside from food. He was annoyed at being aroused from his afternoon nap and sent the two to jail without listening to the case. While they were under arrest, families of both men sold their assets, offered the warden the money, and soon both men were set free. But the assembly discovered this, and its members were assembled to hear the case. The TV station televised and assessed the whole process. Its viewing rate took off like an arrow.
Assign to attractive. A male athlete named Bruce was annoyed by an atomic plant near his house because it polluted the area by its waste. Bruce decided to take the plant to court and hired an attractive female attorney named Brenda to represent him. However, she was busy with some other assignment as an associate partner and sent her associate to assist him instead. Bruce was unhappy about it as he thought such an association between himself and his lawyer was not going to help him attain his goal. He insisted Brenda assign his case back to herself. His attitude created an atmosphere of tension. When the case came to court, Brenda assumed that he would attach himself to her for assistance, but to her surprise, he did a good job on his own. She started to feel an attraction towards Bruce and assured him that he would have her assist, and that she wanted to associate with him personally. Both were astonished that their love for each other exploded like a split atom. In the end, Bruce won both the case and the woman he loved.
Attribute to acts. The author carefully parked his automobile in an available space along the avenue heading to the lecture hall. He was on autopilot as he was still preparing his speech. He was going to receive the award of the Golden Axe and was to speak in front of the audience. As far as he was aware, this prize was usually given in an awful hurry, followed by some awkward event, the main attribute of which was boredom. He was advised to avoid the experience, stay in his car, and await the full authority of the Academy. However, he decided they might not attribute his absence to some type of automatic shyness, and that they might even award the prize to his rival, a member of the non-writing group who only published his work by audio cassette. So he hurried towards the hall, opened the door, and was amazed at what he saw. A man had an automatic gun in one hand, the trophy in the other, and was robbing the members of the ladies' auxiliary.
Background to Barely. A barber, who was also a music lover, organized a band to play background music at a small bar. But soon, neighbors accused them of playing some banned music. The sheriff issued a ban. It said that they were not allowed to play music anymore. Otherwise, they'd be kept behind bars. So they packed their baggage and moved to another city. However, as they had no jobs and were bankrupt, they could barely exist, and had great trouble just to keep a balance in their account. They could only afford bare necessities. To make things worse, one of them had bacon with bacteria in it, and his life was in the balance. All these troubles would not make them stop playing music or take a backward move, though. To cheer their sick friend up, they brought a balloon with a banner on it to the hospital. They even held a concert in the balcony. They banged their instruments, and the bang was deafening. They threw off their shirts and bared their chests as it got hotter, The patients were very excited about it, too, and a man with an arm banded with plaster even danced to their music. But when he moved backwards, he threw himself off balance. The band then became a big success and were even invited to perform in a concert to raise funds for bankrupts and homeless people.
Bark to behavior. A man tried to sell his neighbor a new dog for $5. "This is a talking dog," he said. "Stop behaving stupidly," the neighbor replied. "How can a beast like that talk?" "Or you mean bark?" Suddenly, the dog looked up and said, with tears in his eyes, "Please buy me, sir. This man is mean. He keeps me in a barn, and I have to sleep in a barrel. He feeds me only beans and never walks me to the bay, and the only toy I have is a waste battery. Basically speaking, he treats me like a beggar. On the basis of his behavior, I'm sure he'll abuse me with his baseball bat one day. And, mind you, I hate his ugly beard. I used to be the richest trick dog in the country and have the best bearing, too. I can jump over the highest barrier and barrel over any high beam. I attended the Animals Olympics on behalf of the country. I had so many fans who loved me so much that my bodyguards had trouble keeping them at bay." The dog beamed with pride. "Hey," said the neighbor, "he can talk. How come you want to sell him for just $5? "I'm selling him on my own behalf. I'm getting tired of his lies, which have a bearing on my kids too, and wish he would only talk with a bark," the seller said.
Being to bloom. A man was arrested for killing a beloved old lady just because he had a bet with another man. The policeman described it as the bloodiest murder ever and said that the cruelty of the killer was beyond belief. It would be beneficial to society to punish such a cruel being, he concluded. At this, the attorney for the accused rose and said to the judge, "Your Honor, if you compare this murder with my client's last murder of his uncle, who died in a terrible blast, I bet you won't think that this murder, with a blade, was done in cold blood. Besides, the old lady was in her late 90s and her death would benefit everybody. Therefore, it was also to her benefit to end her life, now that her bloom had gone." The judge was so shocked by these words that his face went blank. He bid the guards to take both the accused and his attorney out of the courtroom. In a bid to be solemn, he then put his hand on the Bible and said, "This murder makes our hearts bleed with a blend of anger and grief. My mind is blank. How did such a thing come into being? A life is valuable and can't be bought back even if you are willing to pay $1 billion. We've all learned that in biology class. It's as simple as that. But we must bind our anger and should not blend anger with our belief of what is right. We believe that the court will bring into being the right decision."
Blouse to brass. I eased off the brake, moved slowly forward, and rounded the bend in the road, but then had to brake suddenly. In the middle of the road was a woman who held a sign saying, "Ban the bomb." She stood there, as bold as brass, as if to boast that she had found the best way to boost her cause. Then it came to me, like a bolt out of the blue, that she was wearing a bow in her hair, but not wearing any brand of blouse. I didn't want to be bound up in any roadblock, or be bound up with her, because I knew my boss would be bound to realize that I was not at work if this event was on the TV news. He knew it bored me to death to sit in the office with the boring part of my work, and that I would rather bolt out of the office at every opportunity to do field work, thus avoiding this bore. So I bounced out of my car and gave her a polite bow. My bounce must have given her spirits a boost, because she then used her boot to brand the border of the road with another sign. Her behavior knew no bounds. I closed the car door and bowed out of the scene before the police might border the area. Then there was a boom. I looked back to the boundary of my vision and saw her bomb the nearby lake with her sign, which was tied to a heavy bolt. When I got back to my office, my boast was that I had been able to bond with events before they were on TV.
Breadth to butterfly. There was a brilliant flash of light from a bulb by the wedding photographer. It filled the length and breadth of the room, and for one brief moment, it was like a bullet of light bouncing off every brick in the building. I rubbed my eyes, wiped my brow, and tried not to bump into anything as I walked to the bar for a drink. The barman was trying to budget for the night, because the budget he had been given was so small, and the cheap budget drinks he had ordered in bulk were so popular. However, before I arrived, I felt a breeze around the bump on my elbow, which was caused by a crazy butterfly of a big breed, as it tried to land on a small bunch of flowers pinned to the breast of a beautiful bride, who was inside a big plastic bubble. Its bulk was an obvious burden in flight, as the poor thing tried to bump its way to the flowers. It probably also had a problem to breed, or to land on a flower, because its weight would burden anything it landed on. I tried to bundle it into a bag. Noticing my problem, the groom then decided to breeze over and brief me on how to catch this troublemaker. But he was a bundle of nerves as he tried to bundle up the courage to make a clean breast of the fact that he had left the door open. Meanwhile, the wedding guests tried to bulk around one end of the room, so the official from the Bureau of Big Things, who was there to write a brief of the event, could bunch some flowers together to attract the troublemaker outside. If this could happen, I thought I might brick up the doorway to prevent its return. In brief, it was so difficult that we all left the barman to deal with the problem.
Cab to capacity. A group of vegetarian students started a campaign against smoking on campus. They built a cabin and tied it to a cab with a cable. Every day, they dragged this thing around, handing out leaflets and trying to talk people into giving up smoking. They connected a screen to a calculator so they could show students how smoking could shorten a person's life by calculating and comparing. They offered candies for students to chew when they felt like smoking, and explained that smoking directly caused cancer. They also encouraged people to put a star on the calendar if they managed not to smoke that day, and they even cabled the cabinet for support. However, their efforts at campaigning for good health failed. Nothing they tried was capable of making a difference. Students still walked around with Camel cigarettes or some other brand. In the end, a capable student, whose capacity was the art director in the group, suggested they use the follow-the-example approach. So they advertised for aged people who didn't smoke cigarettes and enjoyed good health. One candidate appealed to them especially, as he was very old, yet looked very healthy. They arranged an interview with him through the cable. "Do you eat meat at every meal?" they asked. "Oh no, I eat a lot of cabbage and whole wheat bread." "Do you play any sports?" "Yeah, I swim across the canal every day." "I suppose you don't smoke cigarettes either." "Why, of course not. They're bad for your health," replied the old man. And before they could cancel the program, he added, "I only smoke a pipe, you see."
Capture too cautious. Max is a carpenter who lives in a small town. He is also crazy about cartoon books, especially those drawn with a carbon pencil, and dreams of starting a career as a cartoonist. One day, Max was in the nearby city casting around for some special casts when he suddenly saw a bookstore. So he left his carriage, cargo and all, and went inside the bookstore. The sales girl gave him a casual greeting and then pointed to the category he was looking for. Max cast a look that way. There they were, all the latest books from the catalog. He then asked the girl to get all of them, but was told they were on exhibition only, and not for sale. "What do you mean by not for sale? It's a bookstore, and you need to cash in on selling books, don't you? Or do you have trouble cashing my checks?" Max shouted angrily. "Read my lips," I said. "Not for sale. They're cataloged unavailable," the girl said. At this, Max rushed out, but quickly came back, this time with an axe in one hand. The cashier screamed and cast off the cash from her hands, but Max cast her out of the bookstore and went straight to the books. He cast aside the cassettes on the next carrier and took the books in a cautious way. The police received the call and arrived at the bookstore soon after. The capture of Max was quick and easy, except that Max refused to let go the books, even when he was captured.
Seize to chase. Blanco was a bodybuilding champion who was imprisoned for murdering his wife. He was kept in a cement cell, which was very hot in summer. Sometimes the temperature was over 40 degrees centigrade. Blanco was such a character that he would never cease hoping and struggling and responded to all challenges. He studied law and carefully read every chapter in the law books. He also built a chamber to serve as a reading room for all the prisoners and managed to get some books through a charity channel. He helped the warden with some office work as he had a certificate in bookkeeping. With his charm and positive characteristics, Blanco soon became the most popular chap in the whole prison. He got a tiny hammer so he could build models for the library. This creativity charmed people, and he was characterized as a model prisoner. Although Blanco never talked about his wife, which was seen to be in character because he was so big and strong and wouldn't frown when he was challenged to fight, he never forgot her, and his desire to capture the true murderer became even stronger. Then one night, when all the prisoners returned from a ceremony held in the hall, the guard started to call the roll, but Blanco wasn't there when his name was called, which was out of character for him. The guard looked everywhere but couldn't find him. The prison was now in a bit of chaos, with guards running around and prisoners whispering excitedly. Eventually, the guards found a big hole in Blanco's room, hidden behind a poster. Blanco must have been digging the wall centimeter by centimeter without cease. Before long, the police caught the true murderer, following the directions provided by a phone call. But the police couldn't chase Blanco down. Some people said that he chartered a plane, and with the help of a chart he got from the library. Then he chartered route and flew by charter to an island in the middle of the ocean. Every year, the prison library received a parcel of books from an unknown sender, which cemented the belief that Blanco had escaped in a charter plane and would still try to help others.
Cheat to circulate. Sam majors in chemistry in college, but he has no interest in becoming a chemist. He just likes playing with chemicals. He rarely studies and has to cheat in exams to pass. Sam has always been a difficult boy ever since his childhood. His classmates all avoid him and call him a cheat behind his back. It is late December now, and people are all busy preparing for Christmas. As it is no longer just a Christian event observed by Christians, but has become a main holiday worldwide. Although there's a chill in the breeze, everybody looks cheerful. Everyone except Sam, who feels very lonely because he has no friend to go shopping with or buy gifts for. He stays in his room, playing chess with himself, chewing chips, smoking cigars, and often cooks chops for lunch. He usually has the heater on, but the air still chills him. So he goes out and wanders around the streets. He finds some very fine china in one of the windows and stares at it for a long time, resting his chin on his hand. Then suddenly he hurries away. Sam finds his way to the bush, picks the best fir tree and chops it down, and chips off unwanted branches. After that, he does some shopping and heads for the orphanage. The kids are very excited when they see Sam with the tree and the gifts. Sam is then busy connecting the circuit and hanging up circular bulbs on the tree. "This is the most beautiful tree I've ever seen," many voices shout. "Thank you so much, Sam. Did Christ send you here?" Chewing over what the kids said, Sam choked with excitement. But he chokes back his tears and smiles. He can feel happiness circulating in his heart. He tells the kids a story. Many years ago, nurses found a baby in the street. The baby was very sick, and he was choking for breath. The nurses brought the baby back to the orphanage and brought him up. They called him Sam.